All right. We're going to start today in Genesis 3. And we're going to talk about what happened in the garden. And then we're going from there. Now, you all know the basic story. Adam and Eve had absolutely everything they needed. They had God to walk with them. Right? They had companionship. They had everything they needed. The ground just gave them food. They didn't have to work or till the ground. It watered itself. It was a good life. They had everything they needed, except they were not allowed to do one thing, that was eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the enemy comes along as a serpent and starts saying to them things they really hadn't thought about before. Hey, you know, God says, he starts lying to them too, twisting the truth, all right? Satan is really great. He will never tell you a bald-faced lie. He will take the truth and pervert it. He will twist it. So there's just enough for you to hold on to and think, well, maybe that does sound right and true. So he tells them, you know, if you touch that, you know, you can eat from everything, but you're not allowed to touch that or you'll die. God never said if you touch it, you'll die. If you eat it, you know, you're not supposed to eat from it. So he talks them into realizing that they could have more. They could have not only everything else, but that tree as well. And they could be as wise as God. They could know what God knows, and they could do whatever they wanted. They would be free from anyone else telling them what to do. This sounded good, and Satan knew it would, because what was Satan's fault up in heaven when he was leading all the music up in heaven?
Right.
He wanted to do what? He wanted to dethrone God and sit on the throne. He wanted to be God. All right? So they go ahead, they eat the fruit. And he focuses on the female. She eats it. But that Hebrew word, when it says she gave it to him, means she turned around. She didn't have to go find Adam. He was standing there with her the whole time. She turns around and hands it to him, and he eats. So, starting in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" We don't need to go any further. All right, so what happened the moment that they ate? The moment they ate the fruit, what happened? What did they see?
Their eyes were open.
Their eyes were open.
And it was the moment Adam ate the fruit, not the moment Eve ate the fruit.
Well, I think it says, let me see.
Then both eyes were open.
Then the eyes of both of them were open. Yes, you're right. I don't know if necessarily it means only because the man did, if only she had. I think because they both ate, or both of their eyes were open. All right, and the first thing, their eyes were open. And what's the first thing they see?
Naked.
They're naked. Naked, okay? Now, they have been looking at each other and at themselves for all this time. So it's not that they're all of a sudden seeing that they're naked. What is happening now? They feel shame at seeing their nakedness. All right? They've been naked all along, right? And they've seen their nakedness. Didn't bother them at all. Now all of a sudden, that nakedness, they look at themselves and they feel shame. Okay, but still, think about it. Yes, they do. But why is the one thing they look at? Now notice, now this is what I really get a kick out of. They have totally disobeyed God. Right? They are hiding from God. They did the one thing he told them not to do, but what causes them shame? Not what they did, but all of a sudden they're ashamed that they're naked. Are you following here? They weren't ashamed about what they did.
When they disobeyed God, everything changed.
Everything changed.
Speaking, mm-hmm. Ethnically speaking, everything changed.
Right. Now, this is where I'm going with this. Okay? You're right. Everything changed. But who were they worried was going to see them naked?
Good point.
It was just them and God. They've both seen each other naked before. God had seen them naked. Who were they worried about? Because shame doesn't have to do with right and wrong. Shame has to do with how other people see me. Alright? So, what happened when they ate this and their eyes were open and they had knowledge? Did God all this time ever look at them and be ashamed of their nakedness? No. There was nothing wrong with their nakedness. But now there was a breach in their relationship with God. They had done something wrong. Stick with me here. They had done something wrong, and they knew that they had broken their relationship, their perfect relationship with God the Father. Right? Because of that, they now knew that He was going to look at them differently. Right? But they didn't understand what they did. All they could do was look down and go, oh my gosh, I'm naked. I'm so ashamed. This person that I now have a broken relationship is going to look at me differently. You with me? Okay. Now this is what I want to point out. Was their nakedness what made them ashamed? What made them feel ashamed?
Their disobedience.
Okay. Not the guilt and the disobedience. What was the result of the guilt and the disobedience? I just said it. No. What did I just say? Broken relationship with God. They were no longer in one in perfect communion and union with God. So my question is, why was being naked the focus all of a sudden?
Because they felt vulnerable.
Separated
from God, okay. I still want you to focus on this. Their sin separated them from God. They knew God would look at them differently. All of a sudden, they didn't want to think about what they did wrong was on the inside. That it was their heart. Okay? I'll get there. Stick with me. That what was inside of them, that they had ruined this relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship and really screwed it up?
Of course.
Okay? And then, when you screwed it up, did you focus on what was going on inside of you, or did you somehow focus on something external, like trying to do something for them, or trying to fix it, or doing something else? Your focus went off because, you know that horrible feeling in the pit of your stomach that you have screwed up, really screwed up with somebody? And then what do? Do you stay that way? No, you focus on something else. You have a drink, you have a drug, you go out with someone else, or you try and make it better by doing things, right? The focus in shame immediately shifts from what we did wrong to how can I feel better. Are you with me? And I'm going to go there, but this is the premise I want to talk to you guys about. Shame. What is shame? Shame, guilt, and condemnation are similar, but they are very different. Shame is this horrible feeling, not only that I have done something wrong, that I am wrong. There is something wrong with me, but this is what Shane says. Other people see me as bad and wrong and unfixable. It is my thought that others see me as bad and wrong and unfixable. Shame is relational. You can't have shame where there aren't other people. Adam and Eve could only feel shame because there was another who could look on them and see that there was something wrong with them. Now, this is important, okay? That's right. Guilt comes when you break the rule, okay? It's a judicial thing, like a law. You're guilty. Go to jail, all right? That's black and white, okay? You don't have to be involved with another person. You just broke the rule. Shame says there's something irreparably wrong with you that other people see in you. Right? If you're on a desert island and there's no one to see you and you do something despicable, is there any shame? No one else can see you. Right? Well, God can, but I'm talking about other people. Okay. And that's where we're going to go. That's what I mean. Shame is about that you are wrong. When in my counseling courses, it talks about parenting and how the worst thing a parent can do is instead of addressing the behavior that is wrong, telling the child they are bad. Telling the child there's something wrong with you, which is what my mother told me over and over again. There's something wrong with you. There's just something wrong with you. So I heard it once, I heard it a thousand times. That is a horrible, horrible thing for a parent or anyone else, but especially a parent to say to a child.
Yeah.
Because that immediately brings shame. This feeling of dirtiness you can't wash off.
It implies you're unfixable.
That's right. Irreparable. Unfixable. There's just something wrong with you. And I spent most of my life feeling and believing and fearing there's just something horribly wrong with me that no one will ever want to be my friend. No one will ever want to have anything to do with me. But the interesting thing is, when we feel shame, what do we do?
Uh-huh.
They hid themselves from the Lord. And chances are, I'll bet you this, I bet you they didn't hide together. I bet you they hid in different places, because when he says, who told you that? The woman you put here. Do you think that she's standing right next to him, he would have been so bold? Because she would have popped it. Alright?
Yeah.
No, they hid from each other. Shame causes us to hide ourselves from other people, as well as hide from God. Okay? And how do we do that? By focusing off of our shame, or focusing off of the feelings we have because of whoever or whatever's made us feel ashamed, and we focus on something else. Are you with me? Okay? So we hide. So shame is that intense feeling that not only says, I'm afraid other people think bad of me, that there's just something wrong with me and it can't be fixed. Guilt is realizing you've broken laws, and condemnation is being sentenced for what you did wrong. It means that that's it, it's over with, no parole, no probation, the sentence is final. Okay? Now the word group for shame in the Old Testament is disconcerted, disappointed, and confounded. So I like this, disappointed, disconcerted, and confounded. Have you ever sat there and gone, I don't understand why they don't like me? Have you ever, I don't get it. What? You're disconcerted, you're confounded, you're disappointed. I felt that way all through my life. I don't understand why they don't like me. And I was in a previous church, and I was speaking to the elder, and he said something about, and I said, well, they don't like me anyway. And he goes, no, it's not that they don't like you. They just don't understand you. Well, I'm sorry, that's the same thing. You normally don't like things you don't understand. Do you? No, you don't want to be with somebody you don't understand. Well, anybody here want to be around somebody that you don't get?
Well, I try to get them.
Well, and some people will, but very few will. Mostly you're going to be drawn to people you get or like you. Okay? So, exactly. So, I think that's why it has to do with shame. There's something wrong with me, but I can't see what it is. I don't know what it is. They see it, and it must be permanent. But that disconcerted, disappointed, I don't get it. What's wrong with me that you don't like me? Anybody ever felt that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Guilt is a bad feeling about what you do. Shame is a feeling bad about who you are. Shame is broader than just our self-identity. It has to do with our relationships. Shame is deeper than guilt. It is based on having done something so much as a soul ache. Oh, it's not based on having done something wrong so much as a soul ache of being wrong at your core. Doesn't that describe it? It's just something wrong with me. Guilt is an awareness of failure against a standard, but shame is how I perceive others see me. All right, we're going somewhere with this. How does shame affect our relationships? All right, we just saw sinful human beings are traumatized before a holy God, exposed for failure to live up to God's glorious moral standard. The first response of Adam and Eve to their sinful condition was to hide from God and consequently from one another. But remember, it's not just breaking the rule. Now, how do they see each other? Scroll down on this a little bit, if you don't mind. All right. What does the man now say about who ate? That woman you put here with me. Does that sound like they're now close? No, now they're turned against one another. They're blaming one another. And what did say to the woman? The serpent deceived me and I ate. Okay?
Adam even blamed God.
Ah, that's right. The woman you put here with me. Exactly. All right, so shame, this fear that there's something wrong with us at the core that other people see that can never be fixed, affects our relationship with God and with other people. If you don't feel comfortable around other people in your own skin, chances are you are feeling shame. Okay? Now, the reason why this came up was because, of course, you guys know with my eating disorder, I struggle with food the way other people struggle with alcohol and drugs and sex and shopping and all other things. And I'm very well aware now, I'm not completely out of control, but I'm well aware when I'm feeling the urge now, I'm in tune to myself, and I try and say what happened right beforehand to have the urge. Why was I able to not give in? Why did I give in? And I had a whole smorgasbord yesterday from the whole range. And in the morning, I decided I had been feeling really bad because my knees were hurting and my clothes were fitting a little bit differently. But I've been okay with that lately. Why all of a sudden am I getting that sick to my stomach feeling about it? Normally I don't feel that way anymore. I've had a lot of healing in this. And I realized it was because when I'm thinking about how others will view me, my inability to have control, or just how I look, anything like that, that's when I get that sick to my feeling in my stomach, sickening in my stomach, and all of a sudden I'm out of control. I know what to do, but I can't do it because the shame is driving me. You understand? It's a sick feeling that I just want to get away from or somehow soothe and make it go away. But when I was able to pull back and go, nobody's going to say anything. No one's going to see you any differently. You're the one who's really making yourself crazy over this. And most importantly, as we'll find out, God doesn't see you any differently. God doesn't see you any differently. He's not ashamed of you. moment I did that, I was able to make decisions, even if I wanted something, to say, you know what, my knees are hurting, I need to lose some weight for my knees. It was just a logical decision. Didn't have anything to do with my stomach, and I was able to start off that day and do things well during the day. Alright? So what I'm trying to say is, if there is something in your life that's going on out of your control, if it's being propelled by that sick feeling in your stomach that you just, something's wrong, alright, then we need to deal with that, because that means shame is at the back of whatever you're compulsively doing. Are you with me? I know this is not like rah-rah, but this is really important, and I am going somewhere. Now, there are two types of shame, true shame and false shame, okay? If I know that I should treat people nice and I slap Melissa in the face instead, I should feel shame. That is godly shame. I did something wrong. I did something wrong in a relationship. I should feel that way. But if I have a stay-at-home mom with four kids and I think House Beautiful is going to show up at any moment at my house and I feel the need that it must be perfect, and I'm ashamed of the house because of what House Beautiful would think about it, is that godly shame? Is that true shame? So many times what we do is we make up rules and regulations for ourselves. When we don't meet them, we feel guilty. Mm. But then we go one step further and go, if other people could see how I failed, they would think there's something wrong with me. Okay? If, however, my sense of shame does not reflect reality, then there is a problem. If I have not actually done anything to incur someone's disfavor, but I believe I have, this leads to false shame. Or if I wrongly believe that my actions have led to an irreparable breach in a relationship, then I might react to my sense of shame by hiding myself the same way Adam and Eve did. However, Paul comes across and says, he says, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Why? Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, 5:1. The difference for Paul was this: the very sins that used to cause a sense of toxic guilt and shame no longer did, because of the sufficiency of what Christ did at the cross. So it's possible for us to feel shame, natural shame, godly shame, like Adam and Eve did, right, with God. They did something wrong, and then they realized there is something wrong with them now. Now they have a pull to always disobey God, whereas before, they always had a pull. They were in perfect communion with God. He said it, they wanted to do it. The knowledge of good and evil means now I have a desire to do things my way instead of His way. That's godly shame. However, chances are every person in this room has been the victim of someone else shaming us, making us feel ashamed of ourselves. And this is where we're going with this. What are you ashamed of? All right? I'm going to open it up. You can or don't have to share to this, but for me, for the longest time, I was ashamed of how I looked because of a comment my father had made to me, telling me that boys like pretty girls, and he just didn't want me to be disappointed. He was not being mean. He really didn't want me to be disappointed. This was the only way he could get across what he believed was the truth, that if I was overweight, that no boy would want me. Now, granted, I mean, I can go out into a mall or anywhere else and see overweight women with guys all the time. And I always stare at them like, that's not supposed to be possible. Mm-hmm. My dad says that doesn't happen in this world. Okay? But the point is, that made me ashamed of my appearance. It wasn't actually until, a year or two ago, when I did a sermon, God had me do a sermon on beauty. And he showed me, he doesn't look on the outside at all. There is nowhere in the Bible that it ever, 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 now think about this, ever describes what Jesus looked like, other than when it talked about him being hanging on the cross. Now think about this. There's descriptions of David. There's descriptions of Saul. There's descriptions of other people. But the number one, the Son of God comes to earth, and there's not a single description of what he looks like. God doesn't look on the outside. Once I got that, I realized it doesn't matter. The one person who matters does not give a flying flip about what I look like. All he cares about is what? My faith in him. My trust in him. My remaining in a relationship with him. And all of a sudden, the shame of how I looked was gone. Okay? So I want to ask, what about you guys? Does anybody feel brave enough to share anything that you feel ashamed of? In order to make up for the thing I was ashamed of, I decided I needed to be smarter than everybody else. That was my special thing. You going to make fun of me? I'm going to prove how much smarter I am than you. I'm going to be the smartest kid in the class. I'm going to finish everything first. I'm going to be the first one to turn every assignment in. I'm going to be the first one to turn in the search word. I remember that, being in fourth grade in class and feeling the pressure to finish, to find a word first and hand it in. I went to a Christmas party at somebody's house and they were doing word games. I had to be the first one and the person who had the most. I mean, nobody else knew that. I'm trying to look all calm and cool, but I did. I just did, because my shame made me focus on something outside of myself to make me feel better. Based on accomplishment. And we're going to get there. But anybody else, you want to share? Are you brave enough to share something that you, that someone else has made you feel ashamed of?
Well, I'm not ashamed of it anymore, but the thing I'm ashamed of daily is my sins. But my stepdad used to tell me I was stupid all the time. So I didn't even realize what I was doing when I did it, but I would, in defiance of him, I would go and stand in front of the mirror by myself, and I'd say, "Your name is Robert Cook, and you're somebody." And that's how I got through that.
And that's perfect. Absolutely perfect. When, in my first marriage, when my son was really small, and at that point, my husband was basically having a nervous breakdown at that time. He used to be a very kind, gentle person, but he had gotten very angry, very volatile. And my son could read at 3 years old. All right, my son is very, very smart. But when he would get angry, he would say to my son, "You stupid boy, stupid boy." Mm-hmm. And so he'd walk away, and I'd go to Joshua. I'd go, "Joshua, are you stupid?" And he'd go, "No." To him, it was just a logical thing. Didn't affect him. But the very last thing that happened before I decided that to end the relationship was when he turned on my 2-year-old daughter, when she had spilled some sugar-free Coke in the back of an old Dodge SUV. And he turns to her and goes, "Stupid, stupid girl, I can't stand you, blah, blah, blah." And I looked at him and I said, "We're done." That was the last time. That was it. And I thought, well, it's done. It's over with. 2 weeks later, I can still see this like it was yesterday, I'm in the kitchen, and I homeschooled my kids, and my daughter was in one of those little high chair things at the dining room table, along with my son, and I hear her say, "Mommy," and I come in, I go, "Yes," and she goes, "Am I stupid?" For 2 weeks, it was rattling around in her brain,
mm-hmm.
And don't you know, she's taken that with her whole life. Because her brother could read without even trying at 3 years old. So between what her dad said and how far advanced her brother was, She was afraid to go to school. She started crying. I said, why? She said, because I can't read. I said, baby, you go to school to learn to read. She goes, but Joshua can already read. And to add to that, my poor daughter has learning challenges. Reading was actually the great thing she could do. Math and everything else, not so much. So she struggled with that. But you know what? She made better grades than my son all the way through school because she worked for everything. For him, everything was easy. He didn't even apply himself. So shame comes from someone else. Honestly, we don't feel shame of things until other people make us feel ashamed or try to shame us. And I remember standing there in one time when my mom was just, you know, I think my mom even said she was going through a nervous breakdown at one point, standing there in front of me thinking of every evil, horrible, mean thing she could say to me. It was bizarre. I can still see that too, standing in the specific spot in the kitchen and her standing in front of me just saying every word she could possibly think of to hurt me until she got to the word slut. And then I busted out laughing. I'd never even been kissed. And that's when I realized, you know, in the beginning of it, I'm hearing and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What? I realized, she's just trying to hurt me. She was telling me all of these things, but what she was trying to do was hurt me. And I was just a depressed teenager. So you see, other people can try and make you feel ashamed that there is something wrong with you. So my next question for you is, who made you feel ashamed? I want you to close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to think. I'm not going to ask you to share it. Close your eyes. Who made you feel like there is something wrong with you? That you are not enough. That you are not good enough and never would be. Or that there's just something wrong, just wrong with you. When you can think of them, then look up, open your eyes.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Sometimes shame comes when other people try to fix things in your life and you didn't even know they were there. You need to think about it.
All right.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking anything, but sometimes we don't know there's things in our life till somebody comes along and tries to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go, oh my God, I've been that way all my life. And then shame comes.
That's true. That's true. But that is your perception of how you see the other person. That's a perfect example.
But
sometimes people are not trying to make us feel ashamed. My dad was not trying to make me feel ashamed. But how I perceived it.
But we have to be careful when we try to help other people.
That's right.
Because we can bring shame and not.
Very good.
Especially in giving God the counsel, like I've been able to take God the counsel. And instead of feeling ashamed and unworthy,
mm-hmm.
I was able to turn that around to righteousness.
That's right.
And change my behavior.
That's right, because it is a behavior. It's not you that's wrong. Exactly. Good. Very good. But that goes along with what we were talking with Josh. You know, by doing things for other people, also it's a way of telling them you can't do it. You know, there's another thing where you're trying to help someone, but in the end, it makes the person feel shameful. Like what? I can't do it myself? I knew another man whose parents always did for him. Always did for him. Loved his parents, hated his parents. Because they made him feel like he couldn't do anything. But he was so used to letting them do for him, he just kept doing it. Which increased his hatred. Alright? Who do you think today is or will be ashamed of you. Think about this. We carry shame from our past, from what other people have said or done. But today, when you feel that shame, are you still feeling that that person is ashamed of you? Or do you now believe everybody can see this in you? Or are afraid anyone else will see it in you?
How about you shame yourself?
Well, that's true. That's true. But remember, shame is relational. It's because we believe someone else. We can be ashamed of ourselves. But for the most part, it's because we believe someone else is going to be ashamed of us and see that there's something wrong with us. Can you guys think of somebody that you're afraid will be ashamed of you today? Now this is the part I want to talk about. Addicted to shame. Once we establish our core shame belief, we can become addicted to it. We can become addicted to shame because it serves us in two ways. It gives us a feeling of control over other people's feelings and behaviors. Do you remember what the word shame actually means? Or, you know, disconcerted, disappointed, confounded. What's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? Right? So what we want is other people to like us, accept us, right? Well, as long as we believe that we are the cause of others rejecting behavior, then we can believe there's something we can do about it. It gives us a sense of power to believe that others are rejecting us in unloving ways because of our inadequacy. If it is our fault, then maybe we can do something about it by changing ourselves or doing things right. We hang on to belief that our inadequacy is causing others' behavior because we don't want to accept others' free will to feel and behave however they want. We don't want to accept our helplessness over others' feelings and behavior. In other words, everybody's not going to like you. And that's scary. It's totally and completely out of our control. Right?
Right.
How much do we like things that are out of our control? Who here likes the world to be spinning out of your control? Nobody. And even more frightening is when you want others to care about and like you, and you have no control over it whatsoever. All right? One of you could get here and dance a jig. One person would think it would be funny and go, oh man, I like that person. Then another person would be horrified, like, stupid, why are they doing that? You have no control over how other people feel about you, what they think about you, or whether or not they're going to like you. Some people will automatically like you. Some people will despise you on sight. You have no control over that. And this is horrible for people who want everybody else to like them. Because it's not going to happen. So what some people do is they feel that shame and continue to feel that shame because they think, well, if I could just make myself prettier or better or smarter or richer or more whatever, then other people will like me. It's a way to avoid the truth of the fact that everybody's not going to like you and you're going to have to learn to be okay with that. You are willing also... It protects us from the other feelings that we are afraid to feel. It gives us a sense of control over our own feelings. As bad as shame feels, many people prefer it to the feelings that shame may be covering up. Loneliness, heartbreak, grief, sadness, sorrow, or helplessness over others. Just as anger may be a cover-up for these difficult feelings, so is shame. Shame is totally different than loneliness or heartbreak or helplessness over others. Shame is a feeling that we are causing by our own false beliefs, but loneliness, heartbreak, grief, sadness, sorrow, or helplessness over others are real feelings, are real issues, feelings that are a natural result of life. Remember what we've said here at CR and at Ministry House? Your problem isn't drugs, your problem isn't alcohol, your problem isn't food, your problem isn't sex, shopping, your problem is life. You can't deal with life as it is, unmedicated. You can't deal with the fact that life is unfair. That everybody doesn't get what they want. Everybody doesn't get a happy ending in this life. What does the Serenity Prayer say? That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with God in the next. We expect this world to be just a wonderful playground with all the toys we want, and we end up with everything we want. Not going to happen in this life. We get it promised in the next, but not in this life. And when we can't get that, we will sometimes use shame to cover up our disappointment because it gives us a feeling of control. If you're finding it difficult to move beyond shame, it may be because you are addicted to the feelings of control that your shame-based beliefs give you. Control over others' feelings and behavior, and control over your own authentic feelings. As long as having control is the most important thing to you, you will not let go of your false core shame beliefs. As long as being in control is the most important thing, you will hold on to your shame and not release it. I have seen people after people after people who absolutely will not give up their shame-based feelings. They will not face it. They don't want to go deeper and feel their feelings underneath it. And even more so, they keep saying, I just need to change. I just need to change. I just need to change. They cannot accept the fact that some people just aren't going to like you or love you.
It becomes a crutch.
Yes, it does. But even more so, it's even worse when the parent is the person, okay, that they absolutely cannot accept the fact that their parent will never not be ashamed of them or not give them the kind of love in the way that they want. You can heal your shame when you're willing to accept that others' feelings and behavior have nothing to do with you, and you are willing to feel your authentic feelings rather than cover them up with anger or shame. There's only one way out of shame, really. You have to figure out if it's real shame or false shame. True or false? True shame means I have done something to make God separate from me because of my sin. Shame is only based with God, and that kind of shame can always be repaired because there is always forgiveness. There is always His loving kindness. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning we get up, we are a new creation in Christ. There's really no such thing as shame in the true sense, because shame says, I will never be changed. I will always be the same way. But with God, in a relationship with God, that means we can be changed at any moment. And He's continually changing us, right? So we have to realize, if God is not ashamed of us, why do we feel ashamed? If I have to go up, all of a sudden, if I'm facing going up a size and closing, I will get that horrible kick to my stomach feeling. Why? Is God ashamed of me? No. So who am I fearing is going to be ashamed of me? It's my own feeling, but I'm believing, perceiving others will say, oh man, she hasn't conquered her eating disorder. Oh man, she doesn't have enough self-control. You know, oh, she's a whatever, a faker. It's not even what I look like so much as I'm a failure then at self-control. And self-control is the thing that's most important in my life. How other people have other things. For me, self-control is it. So I believe others will be ashamed of me. But when I stop and think, God is not ashamed of me. He knows me. He knows my level of self-control or lack of it. What makes God not ashamed of me? All right, let's bring up these scriptures here. Philippians 1:20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death, because I bear the image of Christ now. because I have become Christ-like, because I am in a relationship with Christ, I will in no way be ashamed. As long as I have the Holy Spirit in me, He will not be ashamed of me and cast me away. Go over to Romans 10:11. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. What is the only thing that causes God to be ashamed of you? What does it say? Not believing in Him. Not placing your faith in Him. Not walking in trust with Him. That is the only thing that God will ever be ashamed of you about. If you're ashamed of Christ, He will be ashamed of you. But I love as Timothy when it says, you know, if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. But if you are faithless, He will remain faithful because He cannot deny Himself. You are one with Him now. You are one with Him now, and He is not ashamed of you as long as you keep your trust in Him. These other things that make you feel shame, these other things that people have said to make you feel like you are not enough, don't matter. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then there is no reason to be ashamed. Even when you sin and mess up, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus if you repent. Remember, condemnation is a final sentence. But for those of us in Christ Jesus, there is no final sentence. You repent, turn back into God. He forgives you of your sins. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and you are good as gold to start over again. So shame is going to keep you in a cycle of doing other things to prove that you are not stupid, to prove that you are not ugly, to prove that other people will like you, to prove it. But remember, there is a temptation that you can actually get stuck and addicted to those shameful feelings because it's easier than admitting that I may have certain things in me that can't be changed. It's true. And there are other people who will not like me no matter what I want. And there are other people that will, because of whatever reason, be ashamed of me. And I can never do a single thing about it. Shame will make you want to try and fix things all the time. Wrong, false, toxic shame. And so if you are feeling shame, this message is to tell you, you have the ability to let it go. You need to pray and ask God, if you are clinging to your shame, if you're trying to make yourself feel better by what you do or what you wear or how you look or how you act, so you won't feel ashamed anymore. Because God's saying, lay it down. You don't have a reason to be ashamed. Listen and obey. Just do what I say. That's good enough for me. Be my child. Come to me. I am not ashamed of you. Other people may feel ashamed of you for whatever reason, because your hair is the wrong color, you're not the right shape, you've got the wrong color eyes, you can't do 100 jumping jacks at one time. Whatever it is, people have stupid rules for what they think is right about a person. But God's rules are simple. Do you love me? Have you given yourself to me? I will never be ashamed of you. I will never cast you away. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. You are my child, and I could not be prouder of you.